This is the MLW Radio Network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Striga. I'm joined by my man, Dylan. And Dylan, it's Super Sunday in Japanese pro wrestling. There was the New Japan Climax. All Japan and Noah ran simultaneously. There was a big, big, big Kyushu pro wrestling show with over 4,000 fans in attendance in Fukuoka. Man, there was a lot going on today. How are you feeling?
I feel fantastic. I love wrestling. I love wrestling from all the companies. I don't have any real favorite company or any opinions or biases. We all have our ups and downs, much like life itself. I always like to say that wrestling is kind of a microcosm of the grander scheme of the life we live on this planet Earth that we both reside on. And everyone listening to does as well, unless, you know, some of the aliens out there are listening as well. I know there's been a lot
of government meetings. We don't have statistics about that, you know. Our host doesn't allow us to really track those listening outside of planet Earth.
I see. I know there's been a lot of government meetings over that recently in America. So I don't know if they're releasing some info, they're admitting some things. There was some cover-ups that maybe are coming out. Maybe even some people telling lies in government, which is much like wrestling, is nothing that anyone would ever say would ever happen.
You mean they would work the government?
The aliens work the government.
Maybe.
I think that's something we didn't take into account.
Yeah.
Overall, I think that's something the government needs to look at a little bit more. Who are the workers among the alien crew? But we're working on that. We're working on the statistics. We need to see in the Neptune region, the Ilium region,
the Neptune Citadel. Territory.
Yes, the Neptune territory on there. We need to look at the Citadel, Ilium, all of the planets in the Mass Effect galaxy, I would say.
There was a lot going on planet Earth as well, so we might just go back for a bit here and focus on what is going on our planet. Because not only was there wrestling, I was watching with three screens at some point because I was watching the penalty shootout between Sweden and the US team at the World Cup. And it was really, really dramatic. Well, Germany already out in the group stages, so we can really have a talk there. So Germany, basically, Dylan, the Kaito Kiyomiya of football.
Yeah, that's true. They're returning to Earth from Tessia, but we have to look at the World Cup. It's kind of what we called for G1 to take place as before, but instead you've compared Germany to Kaito and out in the group stages. We'll see who does that make the U.S. Hikuleo?
No, they are out too.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and he'll be out after the next round. So,
maybe.
Unless you maybe, think Naito's taking the fall to Hikuleo and Striga's book.
We'll see about that, you know. I don't know.
I guess anything's possible.
Before we get to G1 Climax, Dylan, let's tackle this in chronological order. We're talking about some other topics at the beginning of the show. Briefly here, we had shows on Thursday and Friday. I want to talk about Dragon Gate a bit because they had their King of Gate final on Thursday from Kirken Hall, drawing a crowd of 1,258 fans. In the semifinals, Big Boss Shimizu beat the champion, the reigning Dreamgate champion, Madoka Kikuta. in 60 minutes, 37 seconds in a very, very good match. I loved that match. Two big boys just running into each other, throwing big, big lariats, heavy punches, heavy shoulder blocks. This was almost like out of the box for a Dragon Gate match, at least when it comes to traditional Dragon Gate. But in the recent time, in recent years, we've seen Dragon Gate open up to different styles. So this kind of style is now also part of the Dragon Gate system. And then the second semifinal, Kota Minoura defeated Hio in a much different match. Hio attacked Kota Minoura, taking a page out of Gabe Kidd's book, you might say. And Minoura then took away the victory to advance to the finals. I really thought that this first opening match, Shimizu and Madoka Kikuta, was the best match of the tournament and the best match of the show.
Yeah, definitely the best match of the show, I would say. Kikuta, always a good worker. You know, Shimizu is somebody I've always been a huge fan of, and I thought what you said is so true. Great to see them go at it. And like you said, you know, in the old days, a match like this probably wouldn't have happened in DG, but I think that they've done a great job of realigning their styles. I've said this many times over the last few years. I think that they've done a great job of rebuilding the roster to have a more complete style. And you see two wrestlers like this advance in the semifinals, and one of them should have won, in my opinion, like the big boss. But they had a great match here, and it makes sense when you look at what they did going in there. And I hope they do something with Shimizu going forward, even though I fear that they might not overall, considering who won. But it was a good match for what it was.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. I was pretty sure that Shimizu would win this tournament. But in the end, after the rebuild of Kota Minoura, after he made it to the finals, the call to crown him wasn't the wrong call either, I think, because that's clearly a guy that has a lot of fans, especially female fans right now. Still, though, much like you said, I don't know if there will ever be a point in time again that Big Boss Shimizu will be this hot, especially coming off of that Raver 6 angle where he was excluded from the Big 6 by champion Madoka Kikuta and now showed it to him. That's a big win for him, at least, beating the champion in the semifinals, but then not going all the way. I thought, like I said, crowning Kota Minoura wasn't the wrong decision, but I felt that ultimately the better call would have been to have Shimizu winning.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it gives you more options, because now with Minoura winning, I mean, he's probably going to win the title on top of it. I think that's a real tough move to make.
It's a tough move. On one hand, I don't think that the Kikuta reign really has come to an end. On the other hand, you somewhat booked yourself into a corner because you'd expect Kota Minoura to win. But in the end, it's not a given that he has to win the title, because I've discussed it also with Peps on Twitter. He came back. Yes, right. Minoura came back from this crushing weekend last year at Kobe World, and nobody really would have thought that he'd ever be at this stage again, where he would have that level of confidence and be the winner of the King of Gate again. But here he is. So I think that Kota Minoura would have easily bounced back, could easily bounce back even if he doesn't win the Dream Gate from Kikuta right now. Shimizu winning King of Gate and losing to Kikuta wouldn't really hurt him. And you could do a Kota Minoura match down the line. So, yeah, it's a difficult
Minoura losing Minoura losing to Kikuta will hurt him very bad if they do that. Like, there's no question about that.
Also,
because, I mean, he is a guy that has fallen short so many times, whether it's not just for the title, the Dreamgate title, but you look at the tournaments, you look at the stuff, failed factions. Last year, there was a lot of heat on him. You don't want more Gotos in wrestling, you know, at the end of the day. And that's what they're going to turn him into and I don't think he's going to lose. I think he's probably going to win. But if they did do that, you're not going to want to hurt your... And he is, to me, I mean, I can't say this 100% for sure, but he, to me, we saw last year, this kind of is evidence of that. He is their guy. Like, when it comes to Dragon Gate, they want to make him a star. And, like, they didn't force to feed him into that thing last year just by accident, you know, at the end of the day. And let's face it, I mean, Kikuta's run hasn't exactly enamored the world. It's been short, but I kind of go back to that Kobe World show. You had that big speech. A lot of people voted for it as one of the better moments of the first half year. And he cut this big speech. And I go back to something Jay said on Open the Voice Gate. He said if they don't have the blowaway match, then that speech becomes hollow, pretty much. And they didn't have the blowaway match. They needed a 10, and they got a 7 out of it. You know, and it was a good match, but it wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah. The thing, though, is, and you might be right, and my argument might be in going into the same direction as yours, ultimately, because Madoka Kikuta really hasn't been given anything as champion. He hasn't been given any real storyline to hold on to. So you can really fault him for failing, quote-unquote, on that stage, at least.
They've done this before, remember?
Exactly, and that's why I was saying that might ultimately be run into your argument as well, because him not being given what others have been given might be the indicator that Kota Minoura will be winning the title. That I can see. I just don't know if that is a given necessity that he wins the championship, because he has rebuilt himself, he won the tournament, and he has also rebuilt his faction around him, so that ultimate failure of him not winning tournaments has been turned around, and the ultimate failure of this unit has also been turned around.
Oh yeah, if you go back to, but the thing is, I like that because I'm not a big fan of his, ultimately. I think Ben K is who turned that faction around. If you look at where they were before he joined, and, you know, like, without Ben K, we wouldn't even be talking about this, in my opinion. I think he has a lot more, but he's another one. They ended his reign pretty early, and he was actually doing good as champion. And they ended it pretty early. Again, we go back to that. That's when they did the faction wars and all that stuff with the Toriumon and all that. So it was kind of a necessity because of the story more than anything wrong with him. But then look what they did after. For the next years, he was basically a bench player on the roster. Mm-hmm. So you don't want Minoura to be a bench guy for the next 3 years, or they don't. I do, but they don't. You know, so I think that it's a tough spot right now. I think he's going to win, but I hope that Kikuta gets more of a chance. I think he's a really good wrestler, you know, like a lot of good guys here. I mean, it's funny because I was talking about this. If you look outside of the big cage match, which including the cage match, to be honest with you, like if you look at the ratings on cage match, there's not a lot of high marks this year. Like when you look at the matches overall, the ratings are kind of low for a lot of their matches, for the big matches. They don't really have anything over that 9 range or anything like that. Like even Noah or All Japan, they have a lot of matches like that. But for some reason, the matches themselves are not seeming to connect with the Western audience, at least. I thought the cage match was a spectacular match. Like that would definitely be an underrated match based on the ratings. But if you look at the matches, they're not really taking to a lot of these Kikuta matches that you have here.
That's right. But the thing, though, is too, Dragon Gate doesn't have a lot of big audience right now outside of Japan. And even in Japan, the audience has been very small in comparison to other years. So
even this show, I wanted to say too, like this show, I mean, I saw those pictures. I think 1,200 is a little tough. if you look at a lot of this audience, I don't know how accurate that number is. If you look at a lot of the pictures on there, you know.
Yeah. So not really a lot of matches really have a rating that we can get behind, because there's usually 2 or 3 people voting for the matches.
No, that's not true at all. I'm talking about even the cage match is like 8.36 or something.
Yeah, the cage match is one of the few that actually has a lot of ratings behind it.
But it's still not very high.
Oh, that's true. That's
like, you know, and the Kikuta match as well was a major match with Shun. That wasn't that high. I mean, you're looking at 8s, you know, like 8s maybe. Like, look, Kikuta Shun, 8.19, 41 votes. Mm-hmm. Now, how many more votes do we need to say that it's not taking to a lot of the fans?
No, that's true. This was no counterpoint to yours, but it was actually like argument for your point that there is just not that many people on the ratings right now.
And even those that are not liking these matches that much overall compared to years past at the end of the day. Because it's not like, again, okay, look at Kikuta's reign. They had the match from a few years ago. Only 20 more votes than the Kikuta Shun match, but still over a 9 for the 10-man match from 3 years ago. on there. So it shows that this year, whatever for whatever reason, even the Yoshioka matches were higher last year. They weren't super, super high, but they had a little bit more high than this year, which I'm very I don't know, because I think the cage match really should be something everyone should look at.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there's not been a lot of great matches in the grand scheme of things in DG this year. Like, and I made this point on the other show I do, Dramatic Dream Dragons. Once Shun won the title, that was a signal flare that, hey, things are changing. Like, Yuki Oshoka's title reign was all about great matches. Like, put him in there with everybody. The Mochizuki match was awesome. Even the cage match inmates. I loved that. And everybody did, because it was a great match. Eita, another big match. Yamato was good. Benkei was really good. Once Shun won, they told you, hey, we're not having these kind of matches anymore. We're focusing more on our stories. And for the first 5 months, that was true. But then, come June, they really went away from all of that. You know, again, they had another shift, perhaps because Shun is leaving for a little while. But they went away from all of that, and now we're in this weird, like, phase, like this in-between phase, where we don't have those matches that you want, but they don't have the stories either.
Right now, Kobe World might have also just not happened, because none of the things that happened at that show have a meaning with the current product they have.
That's a great point as well. Like, I mean, Diamante leaving right away.
And he's not back. The next point that we can look at is Dangerous Gate on August 20. But you really think that he should be back and really profit from that great moment at Kobe World to keep that momentum running? And I don't know if he has it right now.
I know he doesn't. He couldn't maintain that. Yeah, he lost that, but hopefully he can get it back when he comes back. Yeah. But I mean, that's another thing. This show, everybody's speculating there's going to be some kind of big angle on,
right?
And that's happened multiple times this year where there's been a Korakuen show. And they said, oh, for sure they're going to do something here.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that they were going to do something. Yeah,
and they didn't. So that's another thing. It's like there's just not. It doesn't feel like a super hot company right now, even after the big Kobe World. But the wrestling was good. Like the main event of the show was good. Like the wrestling is good on here. I just think that they're in a tough spot right now, a weird in between phase of their existence.
Let's look at the Dangerous Gate card as we have it right now. A special 6-man tag match. Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, and Tomohiro Ishii take on Benkei, Yuki Yoshioka, and Strong Machine Jay. Wow. This is wild.
Yeah, Jay, another one that they kind of lost his momentum after the big Cover World match.
He got injured as well. And
that wasn't a real injury.
Out of the, they told the story of that. And was out of the King of Gate in the first round, I think. Yeah. Yeah,
like that wasn't a real injury. Like, I don't know why they did these things. Like, because if you look at all five, I mean, obviously Ultimo and GK are not that relevant for the future, but the other three, the ones that the match was based around, I mean, MIA, pretty much. Like, two guys out in the first round, one guy out, not even in the first round. It's crazy, but I mean, Ishii and DG, it gives them something to do.
Dangerous Gate special singles match. Yamato faces Fujita. Junior Hayato, that's an interesting thing. Hayato came to Dragon Gate saying he wants to wrestle the opponents that Hiromu Takahashi has wrestled, because Hayato himself is wrestling Hiromu Takahashi at the October 15 Michinoku Pro Show. So we get another of those matches that are standout matches on the card because they don't really have a storyline. Yamato and Fujita Hayato. Fujita is the champion for Michinoku Pro. Yamato really talked down on Michi Pro, while Fujita is also still the UWF champion, right? In grade. So double champion. We'll see about that. Yamato didn't win the Hiromu Takahashi match. Maybe he has some more chances on this one, but I think that
even you don't believe
Fujita
that.
Will win it. No.
Yeah, like he's not going to win. Why does Yamato get these big matches? Like, this should be Daya or someone like that.
But Daya, not even in the King of Gate, they gave him anything. And
it doesn't have to be him. It could be like 20 different people.
Anyone
better. Yeah. Like,
I think they just picked him for this role this year. He is not in a stable, so he gets to do these outside matches.
Yeah, I don't think he's a very interesting opponent at the end of the day. And maybe this will be good. I mean, Fujita is a great wrestler. We all know that. But this doesn't enamor me, to say the least.
Yeah. That's the next match, enamor you much more. It is Ishin versus Mochizuki Jr. These two, Dylan, they have amazing chemistry. Ishin, obviously, the Open the Brave Gate champion, making, I think, his first defense against Mochizuki Jr. here. They had a preview at the Currican Hall show. They are wrestling on all the tour stops right now. I think this match could be the show stealer.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Ishin fan, to be honest with you. But
me neither, but these two have great chemistry.
That's the thing. The thing is, that it's not even great chemistry. It's Junior is a great wrestler. That makes him look much better than he actually is on there. So, yes, this will be a good match. I hope I hope he wins the title. Is the title on the line?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. I hope he wins the title.
I don't think he will.
Probably not, but I hope he does.
And we got the main, of course, Madoka Kikuta versus Kota Minura for the Dreamgate. We talked about that. They had a number one contendership match for the Twin Gate on the show today, which went to a double countout. Jason Lee and Jackie Fakikamai versus Kai and Hio. So you'd expect the Twin Gate match to be a three-way with the champions Mochizuki, Susumu Mochizuki, that is, and Yasushi Kanda.
Yeah, I don't know how excited I am about that either. Like, all of this card you're reading does not impress me, to be honest.
Well, it's an okay card.
Yeah, and hopefully you're right. I hope Kikuta retains, personally. I don't want to see this be another reign that goes by the wayside.
Well, one day later, Dylan, there was the Sumo Hall show from Great.
Oh, which, yes! This is my main
great
event.
Version Mega, which had an official attendance of 2,215 fans, which, if you take the number, it's the biggest show they ever did. And even if you just look at the attendance in the arena and say, I don't believe that there were 2,000 fans in this building, even then, this should have been the biggest attendance they ever did.
I'm sure they were around that number. I mean, it's still, that's the very positive view of this, is that it was the biggest attendance they ever did. I would say that the very, very positive spin you can put on this, but a very poor number in reality.
Very poor number in Sumo Hall, given that they have really put a lot of names on this card, with, of course, Kota Ibushi being the big hook in the main event. Did you expect going in that Ibushi would be more of a pull factor for the show?
I did. I was really surprised by this.
Me too.
I thought this was going to draw well. And Hiromu in a major match.
Hiromu
as well.
Was there, yes. Right.
I mean, they had everybody on this show. And think of all the people that they flew in from Mexico and these places. Think of all the money that they spent.
Well, they actually flew in less people from Mexico than they usually do.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. They always do that. So, and par for the course. Yeah, you know, you had Janai.
Galilo de Mar.
Him from Mexico too. Yeah, Janai Kai. Jack Cartwheel was on there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
for
like
whatever. Whatever reason.
And that's the big issue with what they do. Why? Why do you fly these people in?
Let's take this match where Jack Cartwheel was in. Like, they have Kento Miyahara, who is a proven draw in any company, in any arena that he walks in, and they put him in this weird mid-card 8-man tag match where, I mean, clearly he is the main guy in this match, and he was the one that got the shine and that got a big entrance and people were up for it. But wouldn't you want Kento Miyahara in a bigger match?
You would think that, but I mean, I'm not Shima, so I don't know.
Of course, Shima puts himself in a 6-man tag match and wins in Sumo Hall. That's what he does.
Yeah, beats the Hiromu team, in fact. But I expected that when I saw Tancho was on the other team. I knew he was going to take the fall. But
and that's
okay
in the grand scheme of things, but it's just funny when you look at it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a fun little note because it's Shima, especially. But I figured this was gonna happen, and Gono didn't come cheap either for the MMA.
Oh no.
So it's like they blew a lot of money on this show. Long story short,
I told you in DMs, I really feel for this poor guy that is the money mark behind this company, because he has long lost all control about this promotion, or can you call it a promotion? I guess so, but it's more of a vanity project for himself in many situations, and
was a vanity show. Like, sure.
It's not a vanity show for him. It's a vanity show for all the talent on the card, and I'm happy for everybody, especially happy for everybody that got to main event this show. All of Kota Ibushi's friends that were
exactly.
there.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, this
that's
show
great.
was literally built around a circle jerk for yeah, one
exactly. That's
two men. And that match was. I hated that main event. Like, I just the concept of it.
Yeah, this has a rating of 8.0, but I watched this match and
just the concept of it is disgusting to me. Like, I can't believe they allowed this to happen. I mean, I can because of the company it's in, but just the concept of it where you're just this, and that's what I said. I said it in the preview too. This show is not about the fans. Or making what's best, or we want Kento in a big match. None of that was important to the people who put the show together. It was, we're going to get Ibushi to have the check mark on our box. We're going to give him whatever he wants, bring all of his buddies in, give him one last big payday, and we don't care about the fans. We don't care about the company. We're not going to have any title changes on the show.
Exactly, we don't care about our own talent on this show. I mean, you have...
No!
Literally the most eyeballs on this show, whatever you believe they did, attendance-wise, there was a lot of people watching on YouTube and there was a lot of interactions on Twitter. You could have easily made Hayato Tamura into a star on this show. T-Hawk didn't need to defend his championship here anymore. I mean, T-Hawk is a great GRX champion, don't get me wrong, and he has had great matches during his run. But this ultimately was the moment for Hayato Tamura to finally win the big one. And this one goes very in line with Big Boss Shimizu or Kota Minoura, which we just discussed about. Tamura, he always comes short. He doesn't win the big one. And this is another case of it. And I don't know if there will ever be a point in time where Tamura could be bigger than he would have been winning this championship.
Oh, of course. I mean, again, we kind of said that in the preview, and I thought that was the best match on the show. I'll give
yeah,
them that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not a lot of competition in my book, but this was the best match on the show, and they worked hard, and they deserve a lot of credit. And like you said, Tiaka is a fine champion and a great wrestler. It's just, when are you ever going to have this opportunity again to make a guy that has everything it takes to be a great ace character for your company? Great size, great look, great wrestler, charismatic guy, carries himself with a good swag to him. And T-Hawk has all that stuff too, but I think you want to use this show to... Who benefited from this show ultimately in the grand scheme of things, outside of a payday for Ibushi's friends? Like, who actually benefited from this overall?
Nobody did, but...
It definitely wasn't Fukuda.
No.
she got her ass beat, just like I told you was going to
happen.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you told me. It wasn't Tetsuya Itsuki either. He lost.
Oh, that was such an embarrassment. That match was so obviously rigged to go to a time limit. Gono had him at will.
Yeah, he had him beat. He had him beat so many times. He could have easily put him in a cross arm breaker and just finish off the match.
Oh, anytime he wanted to make a move, it was like taking candy from a baby. And then I get this guy's like 49 and way past his prime. Izuchi had no hope, not even a prayer, but I mean, good for him. I mean, he did get a lucky strike in and actually broke Gono's jaw. And
yeah, that looked great.
A disgusting picture on Twitter of Gono. But the best part of this whole show was Tamura and TK coming out with ring shirts on. This is surrounding him to me. And that was a great for me. But again, just a terrible idea. If you're going to do these MMA matches, put these guys and girl against other wrestlers. Don't put them against MMA fighters because they're going to be brutalized, destroyed. It wasn't even close. Like, you know, it was embarrassing. And then the rest of the show, to me, the thing is, this is the epitome of a great show, because there was nothing wrong with the matches, like, wrestling-wise, just in terms of skill, watching the show was fine. It was a fine viewing experience. It's just, it was stupid to see all of the mistakes they kept making in every match virtually. And it wasn't great enough to where you were like, oh, this is still a good show anyway. Because, I mean, the UWF tag was good. I thought they kept that short. That was a
nice
good
story with Suzuki and Aoki going after Hayato all the time, them getting yellow cards. They kind of cheated, but in the end they did not. So they had a good story in that match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I thought the Kento match with Irie, Cartwheel, Junjei, and Black Generation, that was a good match, like good mid-card match. Like, nothing wrong with it. Exciting spots for Jack and everything.
And, yeah, but that's ultimately what it is, what great has been in the last couple of months. And I really am thinking about just going forward to just cherry pick from great. Up until now, I've really watched most of their shows from first match to main event. But this, much like you said, there's nothing wrong with it, but nothing stands out.
And nothing really feels like it matters. To bring back what we said before, who benefited from this show moving forward?
Nobody moved forward.
Yeah, like, there's not one person on this card, I would say, really gained anything. I guess the closest would be Ishida in the main event.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe. That's a stretch, to say the least. But I thought he worked his heart out. And I will say that the Glate guys in general, I thought they really tried their best here at that main event to make something out of it. That's why he got high ratings on there. And the match was fine. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I just hated the concept of it, pretty much. But I do think that the Glate 5 that they had all tried their best, to get something out of it. And I thought Ishida did a wonderful job at the end. It's just, he lost in the end. You see this bad house, you're doubting. I mean, it's such a low number. I can't even bring myself to doubt it. Because, obviously there's going to be a lot of empty seats with 2,000 people in Sumo Hall. But it's either way, it's a low number. It was sad to watch.
Naoshi Sano once ran Sumo Hall, basically also just as a circle jerk, because he wanted to have a Sumo Hall show for him and his friends. He just did it. And the attendance, of course, was worse than that. It was around 1,000.
I remember this. Yeah.
But this show, of course, it looked like a better house, but not far better.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, there's no question. Like, I really thought this show was going to be much, much more successful, to be honest with you.
I was thinking that could be in the range of the DDT show with 3,000 fans.
I thought so too. Like I said, I wouldn't have been surprised if it had done better. Like, if it had got to 4, I would have been, Ibushi coming back for the first time in years, Hiromu on the card.
That's the thing. Like, is Ibushi coming back? Is that even a draw right now?
Well, I always say if they tell you what they think of you, listen. And the fans told us what they think of his comeback. I also think, if the company had any sense of competency about them, they would have put him in a singles match that maybe had a chance to be a real draw. Because you're not going to be a draw, and no disrespect, because I'm a fan of his, actually. But with Imanari, Hagane Shino, that's not a draw main event. That's a circle jerk main event. That's not
true. Right, but that's apparently not what he wanted.
And they should have said, thanks, but no thanks.
They should have.
Yeah, but they didn't. So this is what we got. If they had put him in a big singles match, I think that would have had a better chance. But I mean, again, I thought this was going to do better. So, but I still think it would have been better if it did a singles match. Over long story short, but maybe not. Maybe also, overall draw probably isn't that great.
Yeah, it also would have been better to put Hiromu Takahashi in a singles match.
Yes, I agree with that as well. I don't know what were their goals with this show. That's the thing, because even we're talking about New Japan, they do some stuff I disagree with, but I can see what their goals are, at least with the moves they make. What was Glate's goals on this show?
Run Sumo Hall.
Yeah, other than to kiss Ibushi's ass and do what he wants in the main event and give Shima a win in Sumo Hall, that seems like the only goals they accomplished.
Yeah. It was such a weird show.
It really was.
Weird show.
Weird promotion.
Yeah, it's it feels like there's so many ideas going around in this company, and no idea is really well thought through.
That's a great point. There's not a lot of thinking going on with this company, I think.
Ultimately, that's where we're at with great. Yes, so that was on Friday. We are going to talk about New Japan in a bit, but let's go to today's shows, All Japan Pro Wrestling. Did you watch the entire show, Dylan, by the way?
No, I watched the last few matches.
Okay, me too. So I can't tell you anything about the opening matches. They ran a show in Makuhari Messe International Exhibition Hall 7, an industrial hall. They drew 1,038 fans for a Triple Crown match, once again outside of Tokyo. They did that a couple of weeks ago, and it also drew 900 fans, and so that's around what they do, and that's apparently what they are happy with. So they are going outside of Tokyo with doing these Triple Crown matches. Yuma Aoyagi thankfully defended the title against Zuwama with the Fool. It didn't really look like that Zuwama would be winning the title. I didn't sense any change here, but they did some close calls, some near falls with Aoyagi after the backdrop, for example. But ultimately, this was a match that in the end, Aoyagi won really handily, coming after the big high kick, the Kokihara high kick, his Rockstar Buster and the Fool with a clear victory. And that's what it should have been.
Yeah, I thought this was a really strong match. I thought Suwama did a great job. I thought he had some extra fire than he usually has. And maybe even, I don't know how he did this. Maybe my mind tricked me into this. I was delusional watching this somehow. But it felt like he was moving faster than we've seen him in a long time. He had some of that 2011 Suwama going on in this match right now, I felt like. And he was going in there, really working hard and busting his ass here. So congratulations to Suwama for really putting your great effort here, even in a loss. Yuma, I think, has done a great job. I really like what they're doing with All Japan right now, actually. That Shimane show you mentioned, that was the first ever Triple Crown match there in that building. And these numbers aren't necessarily super impressive on their own, but in the context of where they are, that they're much more successful than like the New Japan show, what we'll talk about, or especially the Glade show, for sure. So I like what they're doing here. They're building their base, which they've done in the past of going around the country, not like you said, not in Tokyo. They're doing shows all over, and I think that really gives them a great vibe to them overall. It's unfortunate because one thing I will say about these matches that I watched, it felt like the crowd was into them, but the audio was not that great, like the miking and stuff.
Yeah, the miking wasn't great. I don't think that these big buildings, like not big in a sense that this is an enormous building, but the ceiling of the building is very high. So I think that a lot of the audience is just lost.
Yeah, you may be right about that, because it felt like they were into this, but it wasn't coming through. It's same for the other matches, too. I felt the same way about the other two I saw too, but I thought that this was a really strong match, though. Just work rate rise. I love what Aoyagi's doing. He feels like, of all the champions right now in Japan, he feels like the best total package to me. Like the wrestling, the charisma, how he carries himself. He's got everything, and I think that's great, because some guys are okay, some guys are good workers, some guys are charismatic, but I think he's got a little bit of everything. I enjoy watching his title reign, and I'm glad that he got the defense here.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. No new challenger yet, and we don't have any announcements for the Royal Road tournament either, so we'll see.
You'd think they were running Wembley, the way they're promoting this.
Yes, that's right. Let me see if they... They announced a bunch of matches, but not for the Royal Road. They announced that Fuji will be returning in Yoyogi.
Yeah, they announced a lot of stuff for Yoyogi.
At first, when I saw that, I thought that he'd be retiring, but no, he's returning. Okay. The second match on that show, the semi-main of the show, was a match for the number one contendership for the junior title. Rising Hayato got his first win in ages over Atsuki Aoyagi. Rising Hayato actually won the first match they had in 2020. And then they did a double KO, and Aoyagi won the last three they had. So once again, a victory for Rising Hayato. 15 minutes with the Sid Vicious. That's his Lion Salt version. I thought the match was good. They did a lot of their sequences that they usually do, a lot of their high-flying stuff that always hits, that's always very flawless, what they put in the ring. What's missing for me in this match and with these two is a bit more of a spark, a bit more energy, and a bit more emotion. That I think these two still lack. But otherwise, the wrestling part, the Raw wrestling part, they have pretty much done.
Yeah, I agree with you. This didn't really elevate for me the way the main event did, but it was still a really good match. And they're great wrestlers. And I think Hayato, of the two, has a much better character in the ring and charisma, the way he carries himself. And not just the character of the Ikemen or whatever, but just the way he carries himself, I think. He's more complete in that sense. We've seen Atsuki have that spark sometimes, especially when he's with his brother. I think Yuma brings that out of him, that kind of lovable prick side of himself out. But on his own, he's more like a clean-cut type of dude. You know, like good high-flying guy. And I think Hayato has a little bit more to him. But I'm glad that he got the win here, and I thought he would, because I feel like that's the natural continuation of this title.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's for him to win.
Right. That going back to Aoyagi again wouldn't be the right decision right now. Hayato, they need to elevate him to the level that he can be a real competition for Atsuki Aoyagi, and they wouldn't if Aoyagi had won again here.
Yeah, exactly. So good 15-minute match here, well worth watching.
Right. What did you think about the Miyahara and Yoshida match?
I was so happy to see this.
Yeah.
Although it's still... Yoshida's look is so raggedy right now. Like, indie. Like, it felt like his trunks were falling apart.
He's the ultimate indie guy. I mean, his promotion... I was recently there was a question in the CageMatch Discord if 2AW is a company that you should really follow and watch. And I told them, actually not. And they've pretty much been on the downswing ever since they split from Takamichi Noku. And this generation around Ayato Yoshida has really been the last generation that has been coming out of the training center they have in 2AW. There, of course, is Tatsuya Hanami and Takuru Niki. They are pretty good. Chicharito Shoki is good as well, but they don't really elevate the company to any point. They are just a micro-indie at this point.
And that's one thing, but I mean, even his look, like his, it felt like his trunks were like, there was stuff coming off of him. It felt like the logo on his pants were falling off, like at one point in this match. I mean,
that could be.
What's with the look? Like, I mean, but the thing is, I always think of him as like a, you know, when you see him in the past, you think of him as like very traditional wrestler, like black tights, black boots, nothing fancy, good indie look, pretty much like traditional type of stuff. But here, he just looked like a, like, Dove Pro, like Yoshida, and he did in the Glade match too. What's with this new look he's brought upon? That's the one thing I can't understand about him.
There is a parallel universe, Dylan, in which he became a New Japan Pro Wrestling regular,
and he wouldn't be dressing like this. Like, no. just because he's in 2AW doesn't mean he has to wear to change his attire.
True.
He had his own old attire, which was fine. Like, there was nothing wrong with what he was doing before. But I mean, this match shows that, because I thought he was like really bad in that UWF tag match.
I don't think that he can do the style.
And well, clearly not compared to the other three that were in there. And here he looked a lot better. So and working with Kento obviously helps that as well. Kento's just on a roll right now. I feel like and there are these times where you could criticize him maybe for doing the same stuff too much, but it feels like right now he's really getting into a zone of some form. And I still watching this match, I thought, man, Yoshida, like, this is where you belong, brother. Like drop this garbage look you have. Like, you look like a deathmatch geek, and get back to the regular attire, wrestle like yourself, who is clearly very talented, and you could be somebody. Like, drop this look. Like, I was so, like, distracted by his terrible look that it kind of... I still watched the match fairly, but I was like so taken aback by how he's dressed.
I was a big fan of this match. I didn't really take a lot note of this look. I didn't really think that it had any impact on the match for me. I thought that the match was good. I think Yoshida showed that he can be on the same level as Kento Miyahara, especially in this situation with the match. He controlled a lot of the match and showed that he could be an asset for All Japan Pro Wrestling if they brought him in more often. But I don't know if they necessarily see him as a guy that they should bring more in more often, but from his wrestling, he definitely would be one for the heavyweight division in All Japan. He would fit right in, not from his look, but from the stature he has. He'd be right there with all the other heavyweights they have of this newer generation.
Yeah, and I think his wrestling, we've always said that about him, but he's still got the skills. Like I said, I was really disheartened when I saw him on The Glate Show. I mean, he still had this terrible look, but he wrestled bad on top of it. So I was like, man, what happened to you? Like, what's going on in 2AW was kind of what I was thinking when I saw that. And here it's like, okay, you've still got some abilities. Like, but I don't think that they're going to bring him in, unfortunately. Remember, they're running Shiba for this show. So that's why you had the other match I saw was the Kengo match, which was very good as well. I made sure to watch all Kengo Mashimo matches.
Yeah, sure.
He was on the show. Did you see it?
I didn't see the match, no.
Oh, it was very good. Him and Hokuto had a really good match. And I love the finish.
Yeah, Takuro Nikki is one of those that is also in 2AW that is pretty good and should be really considered for a role in the junior division.
Yeah, I don't know how much they want the 2AW guys, but those guys are good. You know, like I said, they're all fine wrestlers, like, you know, good, solid dudes. Even when they had their kind of glow up, so to speak, in the Western universe was during the pandemic when everybody was running their buildings. So they actually became one of the main promotions for some people. But they have a lot of good dudes. Like they always have. Like K-Dojo was the first company I really followed in Japan. So yes, I always have an affinity for them at the end of the day.
Yep. So much for the All Japan card. I made sure to not watch the Onita match. Took a nap instead, and I think I won.
It's, I mean, I didn't watch it. Maybe it was a great match, but...
I don't think so, from the reactions in the cage match Discord.
Okay.
Yes. Well, that's it. You have not watched the opening of the N1 Victory.
Nope.
I'm correct there, yes. They ran Ryokama Budokan, drawing 804 fans. Their last show there did well over 1,300 fans. 1,308, to be quite honest. And even the opening last year did more, around 900. So this, you can really say that this was a very successful show. But the show had a great main event. I thought Jake Lee and Timothy Thatcher was a great match. Thatcher once again showed that he's just one of the best pro wrestlers that has a grasp for any situation on this planet. Great selling. He sold the atomic drop, Dylan, like he legit fell on his ass and not like some indie geek that would just jump around in the ring. He looked like his ass really hurt. That was a great sequence. He tried to pin down Jake Lee to the mat to not allow Jake Lee to get his offense in that is based around him having a distance on his opponent. And in the end, he still got his corner kick in to win the match, but man, Thatcher is just a great wrestler.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm sure that match was great. How many people you say they did for this?
804.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, Thatcher is great. It's a shame that the fans weren't enamored by this. It didn't feel like he captured the hearts. But I love the Thatcher man. Like that brother can wrestle as good as anybody else. You know, and I think Jake has been a great champion for them. If you look at what they've done, this show aside in terms of a drawing or whatever, but his matches have all gotten better as time has gone along. I think he's really done a really good job. He deserves a lot of credit for his GHC run.
On your point, the last show that they have been drawing better since Kaito wasn't there anymore, the bigger draw they had in Yokohama actually was the one where Kaito Kiyomiya was in the main event against Jake Lee in March.
Oh yeah, that was March. Well, this show is clearly like an outlier. Like overall, you got to look at the stuff they were doing with Korakuen and stuff like that lately. Like they've done some great stuff with obviously Kento and Kento.
Yes.
Yeah, Kento and Nakajima. Also the Jake and was very strong as well. Overall, I don't think Kaito would have helped this, to be honest.
No.
I also don't think that it was smart if you look at the way the card is building. Again, I haven't seen the show, so I'm kind of speculating here. But I don't know about the idea of having four straight foreigner matches to end the show either. That was something that stood out to me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I wasn't a big fan of Adam Brooks in the first half of this match. I thought he looked really sloppy in the beginning against Kenno. He messed up a dive as well. Looked a bit weird when he hit a pile driver, but in the end he worked himself into the match, and it was a good finish in the end with him hitting this move that's called the Aussie Buster. It's basically a spinning fisherman's buster onto the knees. It was a surprise that Kenno lost the match. I thought that Saxon Huxley actually looked much better than he was when I saw him for the first time a couple of months ago. It was a decent match with Shiozaki. And Wagner Jr. actually displayed a very traditional Dr. Wagner outfit in white, all white here, against Daiki Inaba. Also, pretty good match. But yeah, I can see your point of the all-foreigner matches on the top of the block. And weirdly, they had Manabu Soya and Katsuhiko Nakajima as the first of the N1 matches. And that match was actually pretty great. Manabu Soya showed a lot of fire. And he won the N1 Rumble a couple of days ago that they did, where they positioned him very strongly. And he is hot out of the gates, beating Katsuhiko Nakajima. And the crowd was really into this match.
Yeah, cool. He's had a great year. Like, a lot of people have really gained a lot of love for him overall. I think, yeah, like, everybody talks good about him now. And he's had a good year. He deserves it.
Yeah, Jack Morris picked up 2 points against Yoshiki Nomura. There was this great camera angle that I posted on Twitter where it really looked like that Jack Morris had him trapped in this cobra twist and Nomura was trying to get to the ropes. Nomura once again was great here. Jack Morris has been a great addition to the roster as well. So this was another good match on the show. Yuma Anzai lost against Lance Anoa'i. In a short match, Anzai got some decent offense in, but he'll have more noteworthy matches down the line, I think. And the one that I didn't talk about yet, Yuki Yoshioka defeated Masa Kitamiya. Kitamiya, much like Jake Lee in the main, tried to pin down Yoshioka with his leg submissions. Yoshioka broke free a couple of times, hit his dives, hit the battle hook, and surprisingly here, he defeated Masa Kitamiya with his secondary finisher, the Inferno, from the top rope, so he didn't even need the frog splash.
Great! Like I said, I'm glad that Yoshioka got the win there. I think he's a guy that's done a lot of great work. This tour is going to be a real test for him outside of the DG style, and I really have to say, one thing I will say that I did see was I thought Noah did a great job on their YouTube videos that they put out for this. Right. I mean, they had interviews with every participant on their YouTube page. They had English subtitles for all of them, so you could easily go watch them and understand them if you want. But everybody was interesting. Everybody came across really well. It really humanized pretty much everybody. And I thought they had some great build-up, which makes the attendance kind of disheartening overall.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And Thatcher and Kaito did a poor number last year as well, so maybe the fans just aren't into Thatcher that much, which is a shame because he's freaking awesome as a wrestler. But we'll see where they go. This is only one night. I'm not going to read too much into it now. Even the booking decisions, we'll have to see how it plays out, who goes where, who wins what. Like, you know, a guy like Nakajima is probably going to bounce back and win a bunch of matches later on, but Soya getting the win could be something big for him to hang his hat on later. Mm-hmm. Yoshioka, what will he do? So there's still a lot of good questions going in.
I have one question for you in this tournament. Will Yuma Anzai have a better record than Kaito Kiyomiya in the end?
I could see him getting around 6.
Yeah,
I think I predicted him to have either 6 or 8. And he had 6 in the carnival, too. So that was the same as Kaito had. So, yeah, I could go there.
Yeah, why not? So, this is Pro Wrestling Noah. That's the N1 victory. They were sure to note that Kaito Kiyomiya is not on the coming shows because he is focusing on the G1 Climax, which is a funny side note. Yeah, they did their annual Osaka double shot in Edion Arena. And for the Saturday show, they drew a house of 3,150 fans. And for Sunday, they did 3,275 fans. Noted that they did better on the Sunday this year than they did last year. So the Okada and Jonah did under 3,000 fans, actually, in Osaka. But this one, these two shows also did worse than the show on February 11th. It was New Beginning with Okada versus Shingo Takagi in the main event, 4,055 fans. Last year's Saturday event did 3,370 fans with Okada versus Shingo Takagi. So Shingo Takagi might be a better choice for an Osaka main event. Well, but here we are with 3,000 fans in Osaka, Dylan.
Yeah, I think we can get to the point now where we could say this G1 tournament was not very successful at the box office overall.
I think that's unquestionable.
And I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know, like I said, we talked about it a bit with Ospreay and Okada in the main event, which did a pretty poor number in Oda City. But now we're at the point to where even if they do a big number, it's kind of like the Champion Carnival, where they had that great final show, but then the rest of the tournament wasn't that great. That's kind of where we're at now with New Japan. I think we're late enough in the game to see this didn't work, because you wanted more for these Osaka shows here, and they just didn't get them for whatever reason. You know, I don't want to put any blame on anybody. Putting Hikuleo in the main event is definitely something you can point to for why did they do that. You know, Sonata, Chase Owens, on the last night. I mean, these last night shows, I don't know. I don't know what, again, you always try and look at what are they trying to accomplish? I don't know. Well, with the A block especially, Sonata winning, you know. Yeah. But both of these blocks, too, we have to mention. Half of the spots in the tournament or the quarterfinals were already locked up. Okada and Sonata were already going to make it no matter what.
Exactly.
So it kind of shows you that these shows weren't that important overall outside of maybe one match.
But that's weird, right? Osaka has been historically been one of the main markets of New Japan Pro Wrestling and has historically in the last 10 years been the place where a lot of people put their attention on, because Osaka always produced the best matches during the G1 climax. And the Osaka crowd has a reputation of being very, very emotional and very rabid. So you'd think that going in, you'd present a bigger card for the Osaka fans, but they did not.
What were their options, you think, overall? Not saying that, I mean, anything probably would have been better than what they gave him on A block overall. But
so another option in A block would have been to have Shota Umino and Yota Tsuji go one on one on the final day.
Yeah, that would have been a lot better. Honestly,
yeah.
Like I said, it's hard to do worse than what they did overall. But that would have been a good one overall. You could have done something with that. But then you kind of mess up your plan of moving Hikuleo forward.
Yeah, but you could have done a 10-minute draw between Umino and Tsuji and still move Hikuleo forward.
That's true. Yeah, that would have been a lot better. What you just said would have been so much better and still accomplished everything they wanted if they had done that. I don't know if that would have made a big difference in attendance, though. Like, those guys aren't stars yet.
No, not a difference in attendance, but it would have probably made a difference in drama because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at this card. Hikuleo beat Shota Umino. That was the big surprise, obviously, of the show. The Sanada and Chase Owens match had nothing.
Yeah, the laziest match.
The laziest match of them all. And the one thing that it had was Chase Owens doing the Paradise Lock.
Yeah, that got the crowd into it.
Yeah, at least that. But drama, no. The most drama probably was the Ren Narita and Kaito Kiyomiya match, because we basically said it on the last show that we can kind of see Ren Narita winning, but we tied that to Shota Umino winning the main event, and they didn't do that either.
Yeah, you had to be really surprised with this Kaito performance in the tournament, but
yeah,
they kind of did what I said they would do. They just had Hikuleo win in the end instead of Shota, which obviously is worse as a fan, but... You know.
I mean, we said it on the last show that after I saw Kaito Kiyomiya losing to Hikuleo, I mean, yes, they push him now and he's through in this block. But after I saw Kaito Kiyomiya losing to Hikuleo, it was just my belief of wanting Kaito Kiyomiya to advance in this tournament that still had me believe that he would. But rationally, I closed with this thought at this point already. And Ren Narita then winning didn't surprise me at all. So what they did at least, and that's a takeaway that I saw on Twitter a lot. There was a lot of interactions on Twitter yesterday about this, and there were a lot of opinions. what Kaito Kiyomiya did in this block, he had great chemistry with the Reiwa Three Musketeers, and he elevated their matches. And that's a great point.
And that's probably, exactly right.
That probably was his role in this block. You can think about that whatever you want, but he did at least that. And he showed that he can have great matches with all of these three guys. Probably the Tsuji and Umino matches were better than this one. But still, though, with Ren Narita, he had good chemistry as well. So if that's his role, he fulfilled it well.
Yeah, the Umino match was definitely better. I would pick this above the Tsuji match. I thought they did a good job with each other. I thought they had, and it was good. I was happy to see Rin get something out of this tournament, at least, because it's really been a wash up to this point, pretty much. To have him end on a strong note was really good, I thought. And I thought they really worked well together. I thought it was a really great match overall. That was definitely my favorite on this show. But, you know,
there was not so much to pick for, to be honest.
It feels like, honestly, they're kind of just putting this whole block as a, you know, like punting it, pretty much. Like, they don't care about it if it draws or not. Like, they're just going to do what they want to do with this.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And, like, you would ideally think that they would have built these three musketeers that you put so much into, allegedly, here. But instead, they chose to make a new Bad Luck Fale, which is what they wanted to accomplish here.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a bit. Who do you think gained the most from these eight?
Oh, Umino, for sure. I think was, like, by far the one. Because Tsuji was already over.
Yep.
Like, he already had stuff. Umino really, I thought he did a great job in this tournament. I thought he really had a strong showing. He was my second best guy, just very narrowly over Tsuji in the star ratings. I don't have the scientific stuff done yet, but just in terms of the matches, he was like right next to Tsuji, and I thought that was somewhere I didn't expect, because I wasn't a big fan of Umino's up to this point. And you give him the main event on the last night, it shows you that they have some faith in him. Not enough to have him move on for whatever reason, but I thought he was the one that by far gained the most in it. And, I mean,
I'm gonna say that given the position where he was before this tournament, I'm gonna say that Gabe Kidd gained a lot. Hadn't his first performances been there, I think he would have been one of the better guys in this block. And I think that his profile was risen a lot wrestling all of these guys in the block. I mean, we talked about this tremendous brawl that he had with Kaito Kiyomiya, and he was great against the Reiwa 3 as well. So if they have a position for Gabe Kidd in a singles role in a couple of years, I think he would thrive on that.
Yeah, he did a great job too. But like you said, he sucked at first, but the last two or three matches were really great. He found himself in there and showed that he can be a guy. So yeah, he gained something, but I don't see him as a star the way I see. Like, I see Umino as a future star now. I see Kidd as like a good tag wrestler at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see his ceiling being that high, but
yeah,
he has a place now, though, at least, where you could, you know, if all goes well, like, let's say this Bullet Club thing takes off, War Dogs or whatever, they could do something where maybe Kidd splits from Finley and they could have a feud now. Like, Kidd has risen to that level to where he could be a legitimate next guy. And who knows where, all you need is a chance. He opened the door for himself in the future, but I still think he's got a ways to go.
Yeah, if he's given a chance, I think he'll go with the ball.
Yeah.
The question is, what is Hikuleo going to do with the ball, Dylan?
Oh, his win means nothing. Like, it's literally, he's just going to lose to Naito in the next round. Like, it'd give Naito some big guy to beat. Like, I don't think he has any future at all.
Him facing Naito would mean that Naito wins Block D.
Yeah, which he's going to do.
He's going to win Block D, yes. So, you don't think that they put him through because they see star potential in him?
No.
I think they put him through because they see it in him.
Well, he's big. Like, exactly. That's why they put, like, that's all he really has, is that he's big.
I think they want him, what you said is true, I think they want him to be their next foreign big guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they have plans for him to be, the next Fale. But we saw how far that could get you.
That is correct, but he's also a different guy body-wise than Fale was. I think he will take that as a chance. But he's, in my opinion, far too limited to ever make it to a bigger position. it's great for him that they put so much trust on him that he made it through this block. But there is a very low ceiling, in my opinion, for him. I don't think that he'll ever be in the position where he gets to legit main event shows, except for tournament shows.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they could do something with him. Maybe like a U.S. title win or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, sure. It would be power like, level.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he is going to be, is like the new Bad Luck Fale. Like, that's his ceiling, pretty much. He's not going to be a main event player. This really feels like, too, that he's a guy, again, he's been a soldier for them. He's been around for a long time now. Like, he's been around for years at this point. Seven or 8 years almost at this point. Right. If you're not going to do something now, when are you? You know, at the end of the day, if you want to get there. I still think it was a bad, bad decision, to be honest with you.
It was a bad call to have him beat Shota Umino in this match.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, any of the Three Musketeers would have been better to advance than him, in my opinion. But like I said, when you think about what they're trying to accomplish, it actually makes sense if you think like they do at the end of the day. So that's kind of why we were talking
about
it.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that, what you mean with that?
They wanted to have a new big guy. Like, they wanted to push a guy who's very big, and that's why I was surprised. We talked about it on the last show. I was surprised you were so surprised that Kaito lost to him, because Hikuleo is much bigger than him, and they want... I didn't think he was going to win, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we actually did not consider that at all on our last show.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we didn't even consider that. But when you look at what they wanted to accomplish, they need a new big guy. That's a formula they don't have right now. There's no guy like that. I mean, you could say Cobb is a power guy, but he's not a 6'7", 6'8" guy like Fale was. They want that look. Like, that's what they're selling here. They want a guy with a very specific look. I mean, somewhat similar. You talked about Huxley and Noah. They're trying to get the Bruiser Brody thing going. You know, you have Cyrus in All Japan. It's very traditional, going back to the old days of Japanese wrestling, that you want that tall, big, scary-looking guy to be a dude. And they accomplished that somewhat with this. Like I said, if they wanted a new Fale, I think they're going to be able to get that. And to be fair, going back to Eastern Lariat lore, we were OG Fale defenders back in the old days before he just totally gave up. And there was, you know,
Was a point where he actually, before he gave up, he actually was a decent guy.
Yeah, we thought he was kind of underrated as a big guy. It's good to have a big guy. Like, that's a good thing to have. So it's logical. Like, what they did was logical in some ways. What really was stupid about this, what would have fixed all of my issues going into this, they could have done the same thing. Why not have one of the Three Musketeers in C block in advance, or D block in advance?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they all have to be in the same block and get outshot like this?
That's a great question. I was going to ask you what their plan, what do you think their plan was with the Reiwa 3, because much like you said, Zanada got double the points of Yodatsuji in this block, and Hikuleo topped them. What will their next steps be? Because they didn't really look good at all.
No, except
for a few matches they had.
Except for the true Three Musketeers, Rin, Tsuji, and Tsuji's brother, who we saw on the show, who all got wins.
Shota Tsuji. What a story.
The real Shota in New Japan, Shota Tsuji, which was an epic spot in his match. Yeah,
I saw a post from Golazo Dan. He had a post with Yota and Shota Tsuji next to a picture of Jay White and his cardboard Jay White, and said, match for next year's Forbidden Door is set.
Awesome. shout out to Golazo Dan for that. But this to me feels like they didn't even try to accomplish anything with these guys. They just, what I said earlier, feels like it may be true. They just punted this year, like with these three. You kept them all at the same level.
Yeah, but why would you?
Why would you? That's a great question. Why would you have Hikuleo and Shota be the main event on the last night? Why did you give Sanada 14 points? There's a lot of questions.
Sanada is the first guy since Katsuhiko Fujita in 2005 running perfect in a G1 Climax block.
Again, say what you want about Sanada, but I like that booking, honestly. Especially for
the booking is good.
Yeah, like especially for a guy who needs Everything he can get. Like, clearly, if there's any doubts, he's not a draw of any sort. Like, that's been proven in this tournament.
And it's good that this match wasn't even in question. It was a very clear victory. And that's what he needs.
Exactly. Like, they put him over as the dominant champion to the point, what you will gain from this title reign, ultimately, is when he loses, it will mean more because he's won all of these matches in a row. So they did accomplish something with him, at least, in A block. You accomplished something with both winners, even if I don't think it was the right idea. In either case, to be honest. If it were up to me, I would have tried to do something. I would have tried to elevate one of the Three Musketeers if I were running New Japan. And obviously, as a fan, Kaito is the best wrestler in this block, ultimately. Like you said, his ultimate purpose in this tournament was because he had no fans in Noah, he needed to win more in New Japan. Oh, wait, no, that's what the Noah president said. What his real purpose was to make the other guys look better, which he accomplished at the end of the day. Like, all of the other three had their best matches versus him. That's a fact. To me, this was Naruto's clear best match. Umino and Kaito, that might have been my favorite match of the whole tournament. I loved that match.
That match was great.
Yeah, and the Tsuji and Kaito match was very good as well. Like, that was one of Tsuji's best matches.
The Naito and Zack Sabre was up there, too.
I know you love that Naito and Zack match. That was up there. Again, there's like five or six that I have kind of swirling around. But that was one of them, the Umino and Kaito. That was the best match of this block.
They should really revisit that match at some point.
And it had been noted. I was listening to somebody, I think it was Voices of Wrestling. They were saying how there was a coin flip, and they brought back what they did in 2009. When they did that, which I do remember, that was the first G1 I ever watched or followed along live. And they did do a coin flip finish when they tied in the block there, which would have been, I thought that would have been a very fun storyline if they could have got through that. Have Shota and Kaito. It's lame on one hand, but more than being lame, it gives you opportunity because now you could have Umino complain about something and lead to another match between them.
Right.
And I would love to see, they felt like more than anybody in Noah, actually, he felt like a generational type of rival for Kaito, like Shota did. Like, they had great chemistry, which is kind of bad because Kaito's been around for a while now, even though he's still young. But still, I thought they had a great chemistry with each other. And like I said, so you accomplished some things with the block, just not what I would have done or I think would have been best.
Or what most people would have thought was going to happen. Then they left the obvious Kaito Kiyomiya versus Katsuhiko Okada match on the table. But obviously, for the reason that Kaito Kiyomiya is not on the level of Katsuhiko Okada. And they didn't see any... They didn't think that it was necessary to do the match. And they don't think, apparently, that this is a match that Okada really needs at this point of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I have been the one that has said stuff like that a bunch. But it doesn't make it any better.
That's the apparent truth to it, because Kaito is not on the level of Okada, and they book him like he's not on the level, and Okada shouldn't lower himself to wrestling Kaito Kiyomiya. That's not what I'm saying. That's what we got to see in this climax.
And that's what I've always said. Like, that's why I couldn't really understand your feeling about him earlier, because of everybody. I remember back in the Noah show in January.
Dylan, it's never been as apparent.
I think it was more apparent in February.
Yes, yes, in that match, definitely. But when you get it,
that
get
was the someone, end.
When you get someone into a tournament and you put out a path like that, wouldn't you think that a lot of fans would just think, okay, yes, they're doing that?
All I'm saying is, I remember in January when they had the tag match, you said they wouldn't even let him beat Makabe. Which they didn't. That's why your comments are not consistent with your previous viewpoint, ultimately. But I understand what you're saying as well, when the path is seemingly so obvious to have a Kaito Okada match.
And that's the thing. That's why I said my feelings, my beliefs were there that they would do the match, and the rationale came together a couple of shows ago where I found out, okay, that's the level that Kaito is.
And you even said he would get a title match off of this tournament.
Sure.
Which I just didn't think was even a slight possibility to happen.
Yeah, apparently not. And I said that, I was wrong with that, and that's fine.
And it is fine, and we want him to have these things. Like, at the end of the day, as a fan, he's the best. To me, you could easily argue he's been the best wrestler in the tournament in the ring. He deserves better. But the thing, and kind of what I said in the last episode, this is not even in the top 10 most embarrassing things in Kaito's career. You know, there are so many points. I wish that we would do a show just covering the last three, ever since he lost the show. Look at all of the terrible things that have happened to him. How can he be a star when anything, you know, like with all that's come about? And that Okada match was a complete joke, like in February. There was no way, after that happened, there was no way they were going to ever allow Okada to sell for this guy in any meaningful way. Like, he was just a complete loser. And I mean,
there's another question. Do you think they did it on purpose, that they put out this way to just say, nope, we're not doing that?
Yes. Like I said, and I think that New Japan doesn't even... He's like a blip on the radar to them, Kaito. He's so meaningless. It's like, to me, I think they would have done the same if, like, Yone was in the tournament.
The question, like, then is, why was he the one to get into the tournament?
Noah told you. Why? What did the president say in his comments about Kaito?
But why then? Why is he the guy that was chosen for the G1 Climax when he's so meaningless to them? That's what I don't get.
He's not meaningless to Noah.
Not to New Japan. I was saying, why is he in the tournament when he's so meaningless?
But he's not. He's meaningless as a star, but he's meaningful to make your other guys look better.
Yeah, but you could have put someone else in.
Like who?
You could have asked for Takashi Sugihara, for example. You could have asked for...
He's injured.
Oh, he's injured. He's out injured. Yes, that's right. You could have asked for Kenno. You could have asked...
No one needs it. They
were obviously not going to let Kenno into the tournament. But sure, I get what you're saying. He's the best wrestler, yeah.
And no one needs those other guys. They don't need Kaito that much.
Yeah.
Like, I did. It's going back to what he said. Like, he told you. Like, he told you his purpose in the tournament. It's not some big mystery. Like, he told you why he was there. They hope he gets more fans from New Japan. Maybe he will. I don't think so. I mean, he didn't, in my opinion, if you look at this tournament, he didn't come across as a star at all. I would say, like, he came across like an average level babyface, like pretty much.
Yep. And I do think that did not take that into consideration that would happen. That's the question.
Well, they're too stupid to know one way or the other.
And that's the point, because now he's even lower than he was before the G1.
I mean, before the G1, you had the girl running into the ring to pity him. And that's the kind of character he is.
Yeah,
he
but Dylan, now, not only did Noah look bad, he looked bad, and exactly. But now, after this tournament, everybody has lost their hopes that they had, because this path with Okada was there, and now everybody knows. True. Okay, that's never going to happen again, and that's why I'm saying he's even lower than before.
Oh, I agree with you, but he was already so low that it's like a minuscule difference to me. Like, you know, like I said, you had fans running the ring to pity him, and that is who he is as a character, ultimately. You pity him. You don't rally behind him. And it's sad, because he's such a talented guy. He should be a top star. But again, this didn't happen because he lost to Hikuleo. This happened years ago. like when he lost to Muto the first time, that was the sign. That told you that he is not Okada. Like, he is not the ace of a company. And they never believed that he was. Go back to it. As soon as this company purchased Noah, everything changed for Kaito.
Everything changed. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And he was never, ever the ace at any point for this company. They never believed in him. If they did, it would have all been different. Like, so many things we can point to would have never have happened. And especially... the February match, that was the destruction of him as a character. There was no hope after that for him to ever be that dude ever again. And I remember us talking about it. I told you, he can't be the champion after that. Like, it doesn't matter about Jake if he can't draw or not. He can't be the champion. It's an embarrassment to the company. And now, again, the thing is, it would have been okay. It would have been a lot better if they actually had a plan coming for it after that Okada match to build him up. Mm-hmm. What did he do between that Okada match and his G1 berth?
Oh, I can't tell you because I wasn't watching Noah, but I would say nothing.
He did nothing. Like, if you watched the show, if you cared enough to watch the show, you would know that he did nothing except have the fans run in. They didn't have any plan for him. I wonder, how soon they knew about that match, though. Like, was that something they just sprung on them at the end that was like, oh, what's this about? You know, like, they may have come in thinking, oh, it'll be an even match. And then New Japan said, actually, Okada is going to destroy him, and he's not And they're like, no, we don't want that. He's our champion. And he's like, oh, well, I guess you don't need Naito in the main event then. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
And that's kind of what we were talking about when you were talking about earlier about favors and trying to negotiate. There was none of that. Their even was that they let them have that Dome win this year. And they needed.
But they would have maybe negotiated if it was a guy that is important to them.
Yes, that is true. But at the end of the day, you know, it's funny because they said on commentary too, they kind of alluded to the idea that maybe Kaito should jump ship to Noah. Like the English, or New Japan, excuse me, yeah. Jump ship from Noah to New Japan, which I feel like there's so much damage done, it's kind of too late for him.
Yeah.
But that was true before this tournament. Again, like even with, because ultimately he was never ever going to beat Okada. Like that's not going to happen at the end of the day. So to me, I mean, anything could happen technically. You know, maybe he could beat Okada. I saw somebody say something too that was kind of an interesting thought. What do you think of the idea that Kaito did this just because it was a money move, pretty much? Like he made more money in New Japan than he would make in Noah for this tournament.
I don't think that is questionable at all.
Yes. Because that's something we've never really took into account. And I think that's a very logical take to have, actually.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, at this point of his career, if the guy is self-conscious, he pretty much sees where he's at. And if
I feel so
he gets
bad
the chance to... Yeah, absolutely. I feel bad for him as well. But if he's got the chance to go to New Japan and make X amount of money, double the amount that he could make in Noah, for example, I'm just saying stuff right now that could be, not knowing how much he makes. But if he's able to do that, why not?
And Abima gives them good money. It probably wouldn't be double, but you'd probably make more in New Japan for sure. Like, it would be a step up, and you've definitely got more fans. You get more bonuses, things like that. You're going to get a Wrestle Kingdom that you're not going to get in Noah. Do you think that this tournament may have been an audition for him of some sort?
Yes, I think so. Because they put him with all the three guys that they positioned for the future.
Yep.
Not an audition for him to be a top star, but an audition for him to be a guy.
Yes, exactly. So a hand to have on the roster. Like an Ishii, Goto, Yoshihashi level type of dude.
Yeah, Neville level, right.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the days of him being a main event player are a toast, like at the moment. You know what I would do if I were him? You know what I think the best possible thing for him could be to happen? And I don't think this will happen, but I think if I really wanted to rehab him, and I don't know, again, they've never shown any inclination. There's no evidence other than our minds, because we want to believe it. Again, we're fans. We want to believe this. But if Noah just woke up one day and said, hey, we desperately need to rehab Kaito. Like, we have to fix all of this damage done. We don't have anybody else, which is true. They should think that way. But again, they're too stupid to. But if they finally wised up and fired people that should have been gone a long time ago, somebody said, we're going to fix this. You know what I think would be the best is if they said, look, Kaito, I want you to go away. Stay at home for a 1 year straight. I don't want you on social media. I don't want you in public. I want you locked down in the gym. We'll have you train, change your look, change everything. We don't want to see you for 1 year. And then next year, 2025, January 1st, you bring him out as a return. You ask questions. You make people think he's retiring. Make people miss him. Make people realize, hey, maybe we didn't appreciate what we had with him while he was here. Maybe we need him back. I think if you do that, you build up, big build up. Again, this is not going to be an easy fix. You know, you're not going to turn around. Even if he beat Okada, I don't think it would be enough at this point. Like, if that did happen, you need a lot. So go big. Take him off the cards. Make people forget about him. Forget about all this embarrassing stuff that he's done over and over and over for the last 3 years. Make people forget about that and remember the good. Because we will. If he goes away, we'll forget about all the stupid stuff they did. And now remember how great of a wrestler he actually is. Get him out of here for a year. Bring him back. And maybe come in with a new look. I mean, if you go back to his original push, I thought they did a fantastic job with him.
The original push was fantastic.
Yeah, and I was always a defender because a lot of people were down on him, and I always defended his push and his work. I thought he did a great job. They did a great job, and it led to great things. But unfortunately, things changed. And I think now they need to get away as far away from all of this Okada stuff. Just try and retcon it and pretend it never happened.
Yeah, he can't change anything about him, anything about the character if he's not going away.
Exactly. And I think they need to get away. And they need to get away from Okada. He needs to get away from all of that.
But that would mean he needs to get away from New Japan. And that's the question if right now that's an option for him, because he can't land in Noah right now, and nobody really wants him there. You've heard with the president.
Well, I'm talking if they wisen up again. They're too stupid to do this, so I don't think they will.
Yeah, but we're talking about an office that does a lot of stupid stuff.
But if I'm Noah, let's say I got hired tomorrow to run the booking of the company, I would tell him, forget New Japan. You go home. We're not going to see you. I don't want you on social media. I don't want at all. Like, he needs to go away, get away from this New Japan, get away from Okada, get away from Muto, get away from all of that, these ghosts that haunt him. Get away from that and let him come back as something completely new, or even just as himself. Like, either way would be fine, but they need to get as far away from all of this Okada and Muto and all of the embarrassments that he's had. They just need to make people forget somehow. And I don't think that'll happen. I think he's going to be more of the same. But what do you gain out of that?
Yeah.
I wonder if the Noah fans, like, what will his spot be on January 1st for their Ariake show? I wonder.
That's what I wonder too. I can't see him being in any main event position.
No, that would be...
He'll be in a six-man.
And that's sad. That's not how it should be. Like, that's not how it should be. He'll be teaming with Inamura in there as guys
him,
who should be the
him,
top guys.
Inamura, and Inaba in a team.
The main event of that show should be Kaito versus Inamura for the title. If all things had gone better the last 3 years... And we're talking about it. This is a tragic thing. It hurts my heart to even think about it. But again, I'm sadly not surprised. Like, unfortunately, but I know a lot of people were. And
after all, we're talking about Pro Wrestling Noah, Dylan.
That is true.
They've been fumbling the bag with their young talent ever since. It's part of the DNA.
That's true. The president told us. Again, he told us. I always say that if they tell us, we need to listen. And I guess now we'll listen more.
Yeah, we'll listen more. That's ultimately the point that I was trying to make. It's so obvious now that...
Yeah, and I was always listening.
Yeah. So that's block A.
It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make me any happier to say that. No. I wish I was wrong. I wish he faced Okada. I wish that you could come on here and brag about how you knew better than me all along.
Oh, yeah. But in a parallel universe, I got my victory lap.
But unfortunately, we're not in that universe. We're in the sad, tragic one. Like I said, when you think of Kaito, your only feeling, your only emotion as a fan is pity.
Pity. Well, block A, final standing. Zanada through position 1. Hikuleo through position 2. Zanada is facing C2. We're expecting that to be Shingo Takagi. And Hikuleo is facing D1. As you said, we're expecting that to be Tetsuya Naito.
Or Okada could face Naito in the quarterfinals.
Okada could also, if Naito gets to D2, that's possible as well. And I don't rule that out, actually.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting. So let's talk about B-Block.
Yes, B-Block. I don't really know
what to say
about B-Block, because this was one of the more anticlimactic finishes to a G1 Climax block I can remember. Because there was no way El Fantasma was going to beat Will Ospreay, even though they designed the match in exactly that direction that you'd believe that El Fantasma would beat him, because he threw everything but the kitchen sink at Ospreay and got a lot of near falls out of them, which got a great reaction from the crowd and got a great reaction from most people on Twitter. And I think I've not looked it up, but I'm very certain that this match got a very high rating on Cage Match as well.
9.12.
I'm not anywhere close to that, to be quite honest. I thought this was a very good match, but there wasn't anything that happened nothing really happened for the first half of this match. And then it was an adrenaline rush to the end with all moves and all moves. And this is good. And if you like it, more power to you. I thought it was just very good, but not to the level that even they laid out. They said, we're going to have an historic match in Osaka. Just wait for it. And that's the only purpose that this match ultimately had in this main event position. And that's why this felt so anticlimactic in the end. I mean, Okada just handily beat Tangaloa, and exactly in the way that we painted it out, not to the finish, but Tangaloa tried to win by countout, didn't succeed with that, and then the match was just going its way. It was a fine match. But after that, there was no drama anymore. So the intrigue of this was not that it mattered anymore for the block. The intrigue was just, these are two guys that are going to have a great match. And I don't know if that's enough for a tournament setting like this. I want the drama until the last second of the match.
Talking about Ospreay and Fantasmo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it did. If Fantasmo won, he would have advanced.
I mean, sure, but that wasn't going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're right. At the end of the day, you're totally right.
I mean, if you bring that argument for Kaito, it's true for Fantasmo as well. He was not going to beat Ospreay in this match. And
I think there's a much greater chance Phantasma would beat Ospreay than Kaito would advance. To be honest,
I wasn't buying it in this match.
I mean, I thought they tried hard. The effort was there. I mean, the finish was the controversial Tiger Driver, that 91 or 93. Yeah, yep. 93. Of course, we have to get the age right here. But yeah, I thought this was like, if you imagine this match in your head,
yeah.
That's what they gave you, pretty much.
They
did exactly what I thought they would do overall. And I did think they tried to bring some drama in for Phantasmo.
Did, but I wasn't buying it.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to win, but I thought I probably bought it a little bit more, maybe. Maybe a lot of people bought it a lot more based on some of their reactions. Because, like I said, you go on Twitter, or X, now we have to say, a lot of people... It depends on what's on your phone. When will it update?
I got the X, of course, but
yes, we've been X'd out right now. But if you see the reaction, though, a lot of people were talking positive about this match.
Sure,
so.
I mean, I like the match.
Yeah, it was good, but I'm with you. Like I honestly agree with the stuff you said. Like honestly, I just think the thing is, even in these great matches, quote unquote, 9 rating or whatever, that to me that gets decided in the future. Like, will this match be remembered? Mm-hmm. And that's something we can't answer right now, obviously. But I don't think it will, actually. Like, my gut tells me this will be one of those that time will lose eventually. And maybe it will mean something. Maybe this is something they'll call back to at some point later, eventually, for Phantasmo to finally beat him and be a part of that story. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest. Because, I mean, Ospreay, we kind of talked about when he beat Okada. That was kind of the mountain you had, but you made a great point that he actually has never won the G1. So if he doesn't, you know, if he gets eliminated this time, which I think we both think he will, that mm-hmm. gives him a purpose in New Japan in the future to stay, even though I think most people think he will leave next year.
Yeah, it really depends when you look at this block, Dylan. I think there is a good chance that the G1 winner is coming from this block.
Yes, Okada.
let's look at Naito. How many times he has lost twice, hasn't he?
Yeah, Naito has 8, I think.
Yeah, he has lost twice. It depends on what they want for the next coming months. If they only want to do one match with a briefcase, then it's Okada. Then Okada is the winner. Mm-hmm. Because he lost one match. If they want 2 matches out of the briefcase holder, then it's Ospreay. He lost twice.
Ah, okay.
You know?
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
Naito also lost twice. If he wins the G1, you have 2 Naito matches with the briefcase, or he cashes in, like we said. So I think that's... You really need to look at how many times these guys lose within the tournament. And Zanada didn't lose. So that could mean that the briefcase holder cashes in at the next possible situation.
You really want this to happen, don't you? You've brought this up multiple times.
But it makes sense.
It does make sense, but they just never done that.
The thing is,
again,
Zanata's next big match.
Again, I agree with you. I want to point this out. Like, I'm on your side on this. I just am skeptical they think like we do at the end of the day. I think they think the briefcase is good. We don't, clearly. And I know you agree with me on that. So I think we're always trying to... Because I think we said a similar situation last year, like to try and get rid of the briefcase with Okada, that he would be the best person to get rid of it. I think we've probably said that many times over the years, to get rid of the briefcase, actually. I don't know, but like what you said does make sense. My guess is they'll maintain the status quo, like for whatever reason. The thing is, the way the blocks are laid out, if you look at them, because you had Sonata go so strong with A1, I thought that they might do something where you could have Ospreay and Naito face, like Ospreay would win the block, and you'd have Ospreay and Naito. Naito could be D2. And that would lead to Naito and Sonata, which I think would give the opening to build to something. What are they building to in this tournament? Like, you know, I wonder, because right now with A and B blocks, there's no clear answer unless
there's no clear path anymore.
Yeah, unless it's just the basic answer, which is Sonata and Naito at the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Sonata in the Dome main event, I'm just my brain can't comprehend that based on what we're seeing. Like the evidence we're seeing goes against that, but maybe that's what they're going to do. Like they're going to stick to their guns. Maybe this has been all planned out for a while now. But I'm telling you, the more this tournament goes along, I'm getting that Okada feeling. The cards are laying down that in his favor, that we could see a repeat. And that's their history, pretty much. Like, when in doubt, who have they always turned to at the end of the day? Almost always. Not always, because I remember when Ospreay left the first time, they went to Shingo instead of Okada.
That Okada doesn't even have to win the tournament in order to get a title shot. He just needs to defeat Sonata in the semifinals.
That's a great point. And that's a point I made at the start of the tournament, that Sonata would lose and then could lose in October. Naito and Okada.
Yep.
I'm kind of feeling what you're saying.
That could be
right
the path,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Naito still wins over Okada in the final?
That's the tough part. Is like now if you get to that point, how would you get to Naito and Okada again? Have they done that before? I'm sure they have. Like, where somebody won the G1 over somebody they faced in the final of the Dome? Like, the Dome main event was a rematch of the G1 final.
Yeah.
They've
done that. They've done that. Haven't they done that when in the year that Tanahashi won the G1 Climax over Kojima? Way back?
Oh, yeah. It was him and Suzuki, right?
No, wait a sec. Just looking that up. I'm thinking about the
Kojima won over Tanahashi.
Kojima won over Tanahashi, and then they did the match again.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. That's true.
We were talking about the coin flip earlier. So I think that was before Gato really got it.
It was, yes.
Yeah, see, or he might have been. That may have been early on. It's around the 2010, I think that was when he came back. It was a big deal when he left All Japan.
Who else is going to be the finals if it's not going to be Naito and Okada?
Yeah, that's true. So far, we've only gotten Ospreay and Sonata as our options. Sonata's a champion, so that would be stupid.
I still think, much like I said, I wouldn't rule out Ospreay because that's the one thing he hasn't done yet.
I agree with you. I think that. And that's another point we talked about before the tournament. We both did. Would they have some kind of plan for Omega to come back and do that match at the Dome?
Mm-hmm.
And that would lean into your point about the briefcase, because that would easily set up Ospreay and Omega if they wanted to do that. Have Ospreay challenge Sonata and say he wanted to do it right away. And then Omega could be his challenger at the Dome if they wanted to do that.
Sure.
Even though I kind of laid it out before the tournament that Omega would challenge Sonata in October for it, but you could do the Ospreay and Sonata in October. That would be fine, I think, if they wanted to do that. I don't really like that idea as the main event, actually, like Ospreay and Omega, because you're putting so much on the back of... It's like... It's cool, but it's more like a nostalgia main event, more than building to something.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, but... next year's show is not about building. It's getting the biggest number possible.
Hey, we both pointed it out that they are going to do everything in their power to make this Dome show as big as it can be. So if they think Omega is the answer, that may be who they go. It depends on how they think. Again, I think they think different than the fans do about something.
The thing that leads me away from thinking that Okada will be the one is that I strongly suspect that he'll be doing the rematch with Bryan Danielson and in the Tokyo Dome.
If his arm heals up.
Yeah, sure.
See, so right now, this is where we're at right now. Sonata, and the C block will answer a lot of our questions going forward as well, because Sonata will face, again, we think it'll be Shingo, and again, maybe we're just fanboying to not put Evil through on there as well. We have to consider that possibility on there. But, I mean, Shingo got the vote, and the votes on Twitter, you know, Kaito got a big edge. Nobody put in Hikuleo to win. Very low votes. He had like 2% or something in the poll, and Shingo won in a landslide over Evil, and Finlay beat Kingston in the poll as well. So I think it'll be Finlay and Shingo. We all think that, I think. So that would be Sonata versus Shingo, Okada versus D2, Finlay versus Ospreay, and then D1 versus Hikuleo. So to get to Naito, would they do Naito and Okada in the quarterfinals?
That's the question. That seems a big match for a quarterfinal.
Yeah, that's why much makes me think Naito would be D1 at the end of the day. Like, why would they put that as the quarterfinal match?
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe they will. I mean, they've thrown curveballs.
But isn't that a match that you want to do in Funabashi, or is that a match that you want to do in Super Bowl?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why it's hard for... And plus, Hikuleo is the opponent. And that, to me, makes a lot of sense for Naito to have to overcome the big guy rather than Cobb. You know?
Hit the Destino on the big guy.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be a big moment, and the fans will buy into that, and maybe it'll make Hikuleo. I'll give him this. I don't think Hikuleo is ready for the spot, but I think the last couple of matches, he did a pretty decent job. Like, you know, the Ubino match was his best match, in my opinion. Like, despite how much I dislike the finish, I thought they actually had a really good match at the end of the day. I thought the Tsuji and Hikuleo match was really good. So he's not a complete wash. Again, kind of like we were saying about Fale, I think you could build this into a role. I just don't think that you should have sacrificed building these other guys to build this role. So I don't think Hikuleo is that... I mean, he's not good, again, but he's not like Fale.
He's not awful, but he's not a guy that screams main event.
I agree with that. And that's why we kind of... came to the conclusion we both agreed on earlier about Fale is at ceiling. But again, like, what are the other options? Cobb? Like, you Cobb and Hikuleo, not great. Zach and Hikuleo would be just goofy. like a ridiculous match. we still have not ruled out the thought of a five-way tie. How would they determine this again? The precedent has been set for the coin flip. So will we have five coin flips to determine this?
I don't know, man. We need a five-sided dice or something like that.
I think so. They said we need to go into that Dungeons & Dragons dice that they have there with all the sides. So it's given us a lot to talk about. I think that's the one main positive of this is it gave us... I know a lot of people had a lot of thoughts on A-Block especially. But, I mean, to me, like let's run through this just as a fan. Again, never mind booking. What of these matches excite you going into these quarterfinals? Like, what is your hype level for this?
It's very low, to be quite honest.
And I think it's been low for the whole tournament.
Has not been a success. I think that's what you can say right now. With even two of the block stage shows left, this tournament, until now, has not been a success.
Absolutely. So even just looking at, never mind analyzing it or anything like that, just as a fan, my blood is not pumping for any of these matchups. And hopefully they can get there by the final, but even then I think it's too late to save the tournament as a whole. You just have to hope you can end it on a good note, kind of like, you know, NFL season starting soon. So if you're a team that's, you know, 4-12 going into the last week of the season, you just want to, and you're playing your rival team, you don't, it's too far gone now. Like, this G1 is not going to be great no matter what happens in the next few shows. But you can at least, if you come in with a big show at the end, you can at least come off with, just get something to hang your hat on.
And that's where we're at now, I think, with the G1. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess that's as much as we can say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so we'll be waiting for the block stages to end, and then we'll be probably back before the eventual semifinals and finals happen. So if you've been with us for this ride, for the G1 Climax ride until this point, of course I want to say thank you, but there will be more from the Eastern Lariat. But for now, that's it from us. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.